The LA Clippers face their only back-to-back that I've been mentioning over and over from January until March on Sunday and Saturday. Saturday they got the win. Sunday they punted like a football team, rested everyone, and the Clippers got trounced. Is it possible to even build a real winning streak past five or six games with this load management? Going to be talking about that and the performance of the young ones in today's Locked On Clippers.
Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir, you are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day, your team every day. I'm your host, Darian Vaziri, in my 18th season as a Clipper fan. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at DimeDropperPod or subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, for more Clippers, LA sports, and NBA history content. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Clippers on YouTube and comment on today's pinned question, and that is it possible to get, let's put the number at 10. Is it possible to even put together a 10-game winning streak with load management? Because, boy, oh boy, going to be talking about that. And, of course, the performance of the young guys in this one. So let's get right into it. The Clippers playing against the Cleveland Cavaliers on the second night of a back-to-back. And, you know, I've been mentioning this back-to-back for a couple of weeks now, saying the Clippers only have one more back-to-back from now until the beginning of March. And this was it. Atlanta and Cleveland, two very solid Eastern Conference teams, will very likely both be playing in the playoffs this April. Cleveland for sure will be in the playoffs. They're going to get one of the top six seeds. I predicted them before the season to be the sixth seed. They're currently as the fifth seed, and they've had some injuries here and there. Jared Allen's been out a couple games. Donovan Mitchell's missed a little bit. Darius Garland had an eye injury really, really early into the season. But despite that, they have enough depth and talent that they stand at 30-21. At this current moment, now 31-21 after their blowout win against the Canoes. The Clippers were not in effect. Everyone was sitting. And I was wondering before the back-to-back what the decision would be with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Are they going to stagger them? Kawhi plays against Atlanta. Paul George plays against Cleveland or vice versa. Or I think what a lot of teams are starting to do now with these back-to-backs is they go all out one night and then they just basically take a loss. Like, they literally go out there and voluntarily will play a team that has zero shot of winning unless a miracle happens, and they're okay with it. And I just, you know, it's still a new era, this load management thing. We're only in this for 5 years, and it's gone progressively more severe and quote-unquote worse, depending on what you think about the strategy league-wide every year. It's more resting now than ever before. You know, I saw the Nuggets last week, the Warriors a couple weeks ago. Actually, no, just about a week ago, and these teams were sitting everyone. Milwaukee's done it too. Even last year they did it at times. Everyone. They basically give themselves no chance of winning. And that's what the Clippers did. I mean, this game was over in the first quarter. When the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing their full-on starting lineup of Mobley, Allen, Okoro, Donovan, and Darius Garland, and the Clippers are playing Zoo, Nico, Norman, Terrence, and Amir, and their bench is Musa, Moses, Jason Preston, Luke Kennard, and Brandon Boston. That's all the players that were available for the Clippers. So Kawhi and Paul George are load managing. Senior has a real injury. Robert Covington's out with personal reasons. John Wall also has a real injury. But the one that really confused me and gave the Clippers no chance of winning when I heard the news was Reggie Jackson sitting with Achilles soreness. Now, I heard he may have picked up a little bit of that injury, and I know that he has been rested, I think, a game or two off that injury, quote-unquote, because I know he's not injured, just he's hurt a little bit. But again, I mean, I think Charles Barkley says it best. He says, at 60 games into an NBA season, who's not sore? This is what being a professional athlete is. And Reggie Jackson being rested, I just think was a little unnecessary considering he was dancing and in such good spirits after the Atlanta game. And doesn't he hasn't even been playing the regular Reggie Jackson extended minutes like he normally does. So for Reggie Jackson to also be rested really gave the Clippers no shot of winning, because when you look at those non-Kawhi, non-PG led wins for the Clippers the last 3 years, Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris, but especially Reggie Jackson, usually is the catalyst for those victories. So going into this game, Clippers needed to play perfectly, and right off the gates, you could just see they were outclassed, out-talented. Donovan Mitchell in the pick and roll, getting to the basket, getting whatever he wants. Darius Garland and Jared Allen pick and roll, and were defending it with Zoo and Norman Powell or something. They were just too good. Donovan was hitting step backs. He was hitting foul line jumpers in the pick and roll. Darius Garland was dropping off some beautiful dimes. It was just too much. They were just too much for us. And one thing I noticed really quickly about the Cavs, it wasn't even their offense that was crazy. I mean, they scored 31 points in the first quarter. That's pretty routine for today's NBA. The Clippers only scored 15 in the first quarter. And that's not routine for today's NBA. Norman Powell started the game, I think, 0 for 5. He missed his first four shots. And Norman Powell was going to have to be the guy that had a huge scoring night if the Clippers were going to have any chance of winning the game. And Luke Kennard, you can also throw into that mix as well. And he didn't really. And Terrence Mann, you know, was 2 for 4 in the first half, missed his four shots in the second half. But the game was in the refrigerator, as the great Chick Hearn used to say, by the end of the first half. I mean, the Clippers were down 30 points at halftime, 64 to 34. It was just done. You know, the Cavs were just simply better. I can go on and on about the X's and O's and why exactly the Clippers didn't win, but I don't need to. They just did not have a good enough team to win. The Clippers took this loss. And what does that say about, you know, the NBA right now? It's like, can you build a real winning streak? Because this load managing, when you load manage everyone like this, it's so hard. And it's like in 2021, we faced it as well. Clippers would build some momentum, win 4 or 5 games in a row, and then Kawhi or Paul George sit, and then we lose. And it's just really, really frustrating, you know. That December to remember that the Clippers had in 2012, in that 12-13 season where they won, I believe the number ended up being 19 in a row or something like that. I went to games during that winning streak. I don't know if we're going to see that again, because it's so hard to win games with this load management. But let me know what you think in the comments about it, because there's not really much else for me to say. The Clippers were okay losing this game, and because the Clippers are now the fourth seed, it's not as big a deal, and it's no guarantee the Clippers would have won this game even if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George had played, because the Cavaliers are a hell of a team, and I really was impressed with the way they were defending. Going to be talking about that more in the next segment, but yeah, it's so hard to build winning streaks with all this. I mean, I really disagree with the decision to rest Reggie Jackson. I understand the others. You know, Marcus Morris, John Wall are injured. Rocco has, you know, is out for personal reasons. I hope everything's good with him. And then Kawhi and Paul are, you know, getting rested on a back-to-back. Paul just came back from an injury. Kawhi won't be playing back-to-backs all season. We know that. So that's whatever. It is what it is. But Reggie Jackson sitting out or being sat out, I doubt he wanted to sit. It's just very frustrating, but it is what it is. We expected the Clippers to probably not win both of these games, given it was the only back-to-back from January until March. So the Clippers are now 1-1 on the road trip, and coming up, going to be looking at some bright spots of the game with the young kids. It's not like I didn't take anything from the game. And looking forward to the rest of the roadie coming up. Prize Picks is the best daily fantasy app out there. It's not sports gambling. It's not gambling against anyone. You are just making entries based on the Prize Picks projections. On Monday, I'm taking Kyrie Irving with the over against the Lakers in his points. It's at 30.5 right now. I got him scoring more than that because the Lakers don't have AD and LeBron. So AD not being there, that means the defense of the Lakers gets 10 times worse, plus no Kevin Durant. So I think Kyrie's going to have a big night. Dennis Schroeder, I'm also taking the over on his points because no LeBron or Anthony Davis. So I got him scoring over 15 points. And where can you do that? Prize Picks. All you got to do is pick 2 to 6 players and predict if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, which includes NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals, and I am going to place mine right now, honestly, with Kyrie Irving and Dennis Schroeder. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit matchup to $100. All right, so there are a couple of things we can take from the game, and that is the performance of the young kids. So the Clippers were down bad at halftime, and you know what? When I say the Clippers had no chance, they had a lineup out there in the second quarter where Musa, Moses, and Zubats were all out there at once. I mean, that is just insane. That just shows you how limited the Clippers were. But I also want to say this about Zoo. The Clipper players, I understand the Cavaliers were fronting the post and all that, but the Clipper players really don't even make an effort to give him the ball. They see that, oh, it's going to be a tough pass, and they just immediately look away. It's so messed up. Like, in a game like that one, that's the perfect time to give Ivica Zubac the ball 10 times on the block. Like, make him the go-to guy. Like, it's a perfect chance to empower him, but they don't. They don't, and they just want to keep doing the perimeter game and everybody going, you know, high pick and roll or ISO, and it's really disappointing to watch. But a couple of bright spots. So, by the way, I want to say this about Cleveland's defense. Really good. I mean, I know they're one of the better defensive teams in the league, and we knew that Jared Allen and Evan Mobley were going to be catalysts for that. But the way they were rotating, the way they were running the Clippers off the line and making them work deep into the shot clock so much, it caused a lot of guys like Terrence and Amir to take shots at the end of the clock that had no chance of going in, and that's because they played such good defense. So really credit to the Cavaliers. That was something that really stood out to me. And they obviously have some depth. I mean, Caris LeVert coming off the bench is great. They were missing Kevin Love. Jetty Osman was going nuclear. 29 points in the game. He was the high scorer for both teams. 11 for 13 from the field, and get this, doing his best Luke Kennard impression, 7 for 7 from deep, and the Cavaliers shot 56.4% from the field and a ridiculous 60.6% from three. You are never going to win a game when the other team scores 60% hits on 60% of their threes, while the Clippers had their least amount of three-pointers made in any game this season with just two. 2 for 19 from deep. So this had no chance. And I'm not going to lie, as a fan, it really felt hopeless watching the game. And I honestly only watched the game because I didn't watch it live because it was NFC and AFC championship. But I only watched it live because I'm doing this show. Like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it for you. I would have watched the game anyway, but when I found that it was a 30-point game and they had no chance, I wouldn't have watched the game. Even if I wanted to see the young guys. Like, I wanted to turn it off at halftime. It was tough. But I'm gonna say this. There were some bright spots to take. Amir Coffey. He had his best game in a while. Good aggressiveness, some really good defensive plays, was active. 18 points. 4 rebounds on 5 for 13 shooting. And I know what you might be thinking, that's still not very efficient. A couple of the shots were really late in the clock, like two of them. So he was put in a bad situation there. And then there were a couple of shots he missed that were good takes where he drew a help defender and it left Moses Brown underneath the basket for an offensive rebound. So again, contextualizing the box score is very important. So I thought it was really good stuff from Amir Coffey. Hopefully it gives him some confidence going forward if he's thrown into situations where he's going to play. Another two players a couple players I was pretty impressed by. I mean, I thought Moses Brown had a decent game. His stat line looks a lot better than it actually was. 13 points and 16 rebounds, 5 of those offensive rebounds. And one thing about Moses, he definitely racks up the rebounds when he's in the game. He does a great job on the glass. He's such a big body. He was playing against his former team. The thing is, he was playing in garbage time. A lot of his minutes were in garbage time, most of them. So it doesn't really say anything. I saw somebody on Instagram, on Clippers Instagram, comment, Zubac was a minus 29, Moses Brown was a minus 1. We should play Moses more. That's very short-sighted analysis. If Moses Brown was starting against Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland going full throttle and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, his plus-minus looks wildly different. The fact that people still think that there may be other centers on the Clippers roster currently that are better than Zoo is ludicrous. You just have to have something against Zoo. And listen, he was over 5 in this game. But I blame the teammates mainly. I don't think that he should be getting one jump hook on the first possession, and then you have to wait to the second quarter to get him another shot attempt when Kawhi and Paul George are out. That's ridiculous. That's unacceptable, quite frankly. You need to reward the big fella who has played his heart and soul out for 3 straight years, playing more than everybody on this roster. It's totally unacceptable. Just because somebody's running the post doesn't mean you can't try to, one, you can throw the risky pass, or two, high-low action, or three, there were a couple times where the Clippers would move the ball, he's reposting, and they're just not looking at him again. It's insane. And Zubats, at some point, he needs to just scream at these guys. He might be doing it behind the scenes, but it's just so ridiculous. But Moses Brown, 13 points, 16 boards, solid night off the bench, 5 for 7 from the field. Musa, thought he was pretty good, and he even made his first three-pointer of his NBA career in the corner, which I was pretty surprised by in the first half, showed me that Musa has a future as a potential stretch big. Because right now he's not showing any chops in terms of like back to the basket or footwork. He's so raw. But I like his activity, and you know, to see him play, he actually finished in the positive and the plus minus, which is really, really weird and funny considering the Clippers got absolutely curb stomped. But Musa had 13 points and 5 boards on 5 for 8 shooting from the field in 30 minutes. So that's good to see. 30 minutes is a lot. I think that might be his career high in minutes. Luke Kennard, Norman Powell, and Nico did not even play the second half. Nico only played 7 minutes. He missed all 3 shots he took. Norman Powell started out 0 for 5, ended the half 4 for 10, didn't play any of the second half. And Luke Kennard, 10 minutes, didn't play any of the second half on 1 for 4 shooting. So again, I just am not a fan of the NBA right now in which teams are okay with losing. They are. They can say whatever they want. But this is a team that did not care about winning this game. Point blank, end of story. But a couple of guys that impressed. Brandon Boston Jr. He was 0 for 7. Actually, I think 0 for 8 to start the game. All his shots were long. And, you know, when you get Brandon on the court, he's instant energy, instant, I'm looking to get buckets. I'm looking to go ball his life out here. 0 for 8. And you know what I was thinking at that moment? Not that Brandon Boston's having an off night. Actually, I was thinking he had an off night. But not that, oh, he's not good. He hasn't played enough NBA minutes. So you throw him out there against regular rotation guys and you expect him to just start making contested shots. That's just not going to happen. And even his open, like he airballed a 3. And I saw the tweets on Twitter, just on the timeline, flying about how Brandon Boston's overrated. He's not good. Clippers should just package him now. Total knee-jerk reactions by people who don't know anything about development. You saw as the game went on, the more comfortable he was on the court, he hit 9 of his last 11 shots in the game. 9 for 19 for Brandon in the end. He was getting to the basket, showing his strength, his added strength that he's worked on over the summer, and also starting to hit some jump shots. 1 for 3 from deep, but he had 24 points to lead the Clips on 9 for 19 shooting. And again, there's a real player there. There really is. And he's never going to find that out, and people are not going to find that out until he's playing consistently somewhere if it's not here. I hope it's here. It's not going to be this season if it's here. But Brandon Boston is a good player. Jerry West said he's going to be an all-star one day. Does that mean he's going to be right? No. But when you get the Jerry West stamp of approval as a prospect, his track record speaks for itself. And I believe Jerry West over random kids on Twitter. And I also believe myself. Brandon Boston's a talented player on both ends of the court, too. He's got great length and athleticism. He has great instincts in the passing lanes. But it's just he's on a win-now team, so it's unfortunate. But he was absolutely a steal in the draft, and he's got a good future. Another guy who I was really impressed by. Really, Jesus, what that voice crack was. Jason Preston. I really liked it. Certified dime dropper, this guy. Great court vision, really comfortable in the pick and roll, did a really good job of doing the old-fashioned Chris Paul, snake the pick and roll and keep the defender on his back. And you know what was interesting? I'm looking at Jason Preston, right? He's just getting his first taste this season of NBA minutes. And this was the first time I'd seen him play in like the second quarter, the third quarter, you know, besides that Denver game in which, again, we punted when we were down by 30 at half. But this was my first time seeing him in like a first half of a game that I could recall. And I really liked it. I think he's got decent shot-making ability. He really has I think he's the second best passer on our team after John Wall. Like, seriously. He won't create the same looks as Kawhi or Paul because he doesn't have that gravity yet. He doesn't have the attention as a scorer. But pure passing mechanics, I know when it comes to passing and point guards, like, I know what I'm talking about, in my opinion. And he's got, like, a great basketball IQ and a feel for the game. And I was just curious because I was like, you know what's interesting? I love seeing players that are in the NBA. You just got to think, like, these guys were hooping at the college level. Like, I just want to see them look better than their competition. So I looked up Jason Preston's highlights with Ohio. And, I mean, he was doing a lot of the same stuff that he was doing against the Cavs. And he was really comfortable weaving in that pick and roll and hitting these leaners in the key. So I really am a fan of Jason Preston. I think he is an NBA player for sure. Will it be with the Clippers where he gets his run? I don't know. And he's not probably ready for that, you know, pass first traditional point guard that the Clippers want. But funny enough, if you want a traditional point guard, not an attack first point guard, a guy that's going to put guys in the right spots and still can create a little bit in pick and roll, he's that. He's exactly that. He's exactly that. He's not a crazy, you know, you have to worry about him scoring 20 points so then everybody has to help but he can find open guys. But he's good enough that he can hit some jumpers and hit little floaters and can make good reads. And when he's out there with Kawhi and Paul, hypothetically, he'll look to give them the ball and spot up. And from what I've seen so far, I think he can hit open threes. So I'm just saying, I really liked it, man. I'm smiling right now because I really liked it. Jason Preston, keep an eye out. But coming up, going to look towards the remainder of the road trip and what the Clippers got going on. 1-1, 4 games left. Let's get into it coming up. Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who'll do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so you can do not taxes. Show your eyes things that are not taxes. Unpack a moving box of not taxes. Taste not taxes. Sing not taxes a lullaby. Hope not taxes sleeps through the night. Grab a saddle and ride not taxes into the sunset. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so you can relax. Feels good to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax. Yes, Intuit. Full service products only. Video meeting while expert does your taxes required. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. All right, let's take a look at the remainder of the road trip for the Clips. 1-1 on this one. No back-to-backs for the whole entirety of February, which is awesome. The Clippers are 28-25 now, and if the Minnesota Timberwolves defeat the Sacramento Kings on Monday night, they will move into the fourth spot off the tiebreaker right now, if I'm not mistaken. Although, I think the Clippers have played the Wolves twice this season and they've split, if I'm right. Yeah, they beat them 99-88 on December 14th, and then they lost in that back-to-back after the Denver game. So yeah, Clippers are 1-1 against the Wolves right now. So never mind. I don't know right now who holds the tiebreaker, but regardless, I don't think that matters much. The Clippers are in the fourth spot. The worst thing that can happen is they're tied for the fourth spot on Tuesday morning. And on Tuesday, Clippers will play the Chicago Bulls, who are having a weird season right now. It's kind of like they're in a flux of what they want to do with their roster. DeRozan and Zach LaVine DeRozan's on the twilight of his prime. Zach LaVine is kind of beginning his prime, but he's had so many injury issues that, like, his PPG has declined since the last 2 years. He's averaging 24 points a game. DeRozan's averaging 26. So they got two guys averaging 23+. But then after that, you got Vucevic averaging 17-11, and there's a big drop-off after that. A lot of young guys like Patrick Williams, Ayo Dosunmu, Kobe White, Javonte Green. I don't know if Alex Caruso is going to play, but it won't be an easy game. You know, they're not a bad team. They're just a team that doesn't know what their future really is. They started out the season pretty poorly. They were 11-17, and, you know, they're 12-9 in their last 21 games, so a little bit better. Zach LaVine and DeRozan routinely have 30-plus point games. I don't know if they're the best fit together, and I just don't know what they're... It seems like since DeRozan has come, DeRozan is the number one, LaVine is the number two, and that's not what I envisioned when they picked up DeRozan, and I think that's not what Bulls fans envisioned when they picked up DeRozan. But that being said, the Clippers should beat them. This is a below 500 team, and DeRozan and Zach LaVine have played a good chunk of games, more than Kawhi and Paul. Clippers got to get that win. After that, Milwaukee, I referenced, that will be the toughest game of the trip. No doubt about it. I don't know if I expect to win there against the Bucks. And then Brooklyn and New York are both going to come with their own sets of challenges. New York Knicks are playing pretty well this season, but the Nets hopefully won't have Kevin Durant yet. Because the Clippers didn't have Kawhi when they played the Nets in LA, so I don't feel bad. However, one game at a time is always the way, and the first game comes against the Chicago Bulls. I expect to see Terrence Mann guarding DeRozan, maybe LaVine. I'd honestly put Paul George on DeRozan for that length and then put Terrence on LaVine. But it should be a good game. Patrick Williams surely going to be guarding Kawhi. Don't know who's going to be guarding Paul George. I wonder what they'll start with. Usually they go with... See, the thing is, without Lonzo Ball, they haven't had him for so long. It totally takes away from their defense. But I think it'll be like Ayo Dosunmu, DeRozan, LaVine, Patrick Williams, and Vucevic is probably my prediction for their lineup. And I like Ayo's defense, actually. He works hard. So maybe he'll guard Paul George, although he's very small. But we'll see. At the end of the day, the moral of the story is, I don't know how easy it is to build winning streaks with load management. It seems extremely difficult. And then on the side note, Jason Preston, Brandon Boston, Amir Coffey, good games. Musa Diabate, Moses Brown, good to see that. There's a real NBA player in Jason Preston. Brandon Boston is a stud. And the Clippers, it was a tough game to watch. It is what it is. We move to the next. Good thing about basketball is it's the shortest turnaround between the next game. Tuesday, Chicago Bulls, 5 o'clock Pacific time. Make sure to get home from work or put that DVR on record if you can't catch it live. Gonna have an episode actually on Tuesday morning for you, last of the month. Peace out. You already know the... Oh, by the way, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod. And of course, subscribe to Dime Dropper. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Clippers and comment on today's pinned question. How is it possible to have a 10-game winning streak with load management? You let me know. Thanks for making Locked On Clippers your first listen today. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Peace out. The age-old proverb continues. Go Clippers.